Welcome back to the Maine Celtics podcast. Brendan Glasheen and John Scheinman, your broadcast team for Maine Celtics basketball. This week, not only do you get to talk with us or listen to us, our guest is Ron Harper Jr. in his third NBA G League season. Ron is in his third year, first with the Maine Celtics. We talked to Ron Harper Jr. about his journey so far in Maine and his thoughts so far on this year's team as the Maine Celtics head home for the first time this year. They are 1-1, John Scheinman, through their first two games. So as we join the people, we have games to sink our teeth into. They're scoring a lot of points. They're taking threes and making threes. No shock when we see the Celtic green. The assist rate is high. A loss at Long Island to open up the season last Friday. And then on Veterans Day Monday, a win at Delaware, the first in the head coaching career of Tyler Lashbrook. Let's start with Friday night. A 20-point deficit. The Celtics carve into that deficit. They make a comeback bid. Baylor Shireman, exceptional. J.D. Davison, exceptional as a playmaker, a near triple-double. Just the eighth time in Maine Celtics history, two players score 30-plus points in the same game. They blocked 15 shots. So you might see the 129 and think, well, was the defense there? They were certainly meeting guys at the rim. But let's start with Friday. Your thoughts on Friday's game against Long Island.
As you said, I was certainly meeting people at the rim, Ward having a block party. I think the key to Friday, Brennan, it also came through on Monday, have to get off to a better start. And that's going to be critical for this weekend, in fact, versus Westchester. Versus Long Island, able to come all the way back and take a lead, but not able to finish the job. And Monday, got down early, came back, and really dominated for three quarters. J.D. Davison, as you said, was immense. I mean, just shy of a triple-double. I was chatting with Tristan and Aruna last evening, and he said, J.D., it's just too easy for him. And he also shared, which came true on Friday, teams still looking and learning how to play with each other, and that will develop over time.
Yeah, that's a true testament to the G League, and I think you bring up a great point about getting off to good starts, trying to climb out of holes. It's doable in the G League with the three-point line, the pace of play, more than ever at any level of basketball. Now in the NBA, you watch games, 12 to 13 points with 4 or 5 minutes left is nothing. Even a 19-point lead, 20-point deficit, not insurmountable the way the game is played. But yes, playing with a lead and getting off to a faster start. And that comes with reps together, efficiency offensively. But that is a good sign, I would say, that the Celtics are tied for fifth in the league in fewest turnovers committed per game. And that is a testament to J.D. Davison, who has just four turnovers in two games. His big Achilles heel coming in as a pro, John, as a young point guard, coming off the bench in Alabama, then becoming a starting point guard as a two-way contract player at the NBA G League level. If J.D.'s going to not turn the ball over and average 10 assists a game compared to what he's done the last few years, which is you're hovering around a 2-to-1 assist to turnover, if you're cutting that down to a 2.5-to-1, say, that's immense, and that speaks to his growth.
Exactly. It speaks to his growth. People don't realize how young he was when he started playing in a G League, and his growth is tremendous. That's what the G League's about. In fact, 60% of the players in the NBA have played in the G League, and JD's a perfect example of that. I predict for that young man, there's a triple-double in a game in his future. When, you know, when guard rebound a game, he's just a stat sheet stuffer and very, very efficient. And looks effortlessly, or effortless, I should say.
I think, he had a couple last year. I think he's in for a few more. That's for sure. J.D. Davison, Maine Celtics point guard, pushing pace, controlling the feel of the game. But again, speaking to Friday, hard to do when you're playing from behind. And that was not the case against Delaware on Monday. Admittedly, a game I got a chance to watch more closely. So this game to me was that much faster start. And they went in there and set the energy, set the tone in that game. The Celtics won 130-111. Davison with 14 assists with his 30 points. Baylor Shireman eventually got going in this game. Had a Peyton Pritchard-like heave before the buzzer, which I thought that was Tyler Lashbrook in a nutshell. That was the Celtics watching, even had a situation in the Atlanta game they played in the NBA where they had to put Pritchard in at the end of the half or end of the quarter. This game to me was everyone clicking on all cylinders. And when you're knocking down shots that early, this team is going to be very hard to beat.
hard to beat. And that's the Celtics' way to knock down those threes. They're shooting at a high percentage. Interesting you mentioned Sharman did not score a point in the first quarter on Monday and ended up with 24.
Baylor Shireman on assignment from Boston. We didn't get a chance to talk about Baylor Shireman much in our first episode because we didn't really know what we were going to expect. And I think that's going to be a trend all year. We don't know who will be up and down with the team. So to John's point, a lot of talent, but then how do you make it all work? And that's why we are looking forward to our guest. Stay tuned for that. Ron Harper Jr., who knows a thing or two about the G League, has been on a couple of two-way deals with the Toronto Raptors, had a season cut short last year due to an injury to his shoulder. So Shireman, Davison, you mentioned Hassan Ward, who I think has been an exceptional piece off the bench. And he's a guy I don't think many people know about either because he didn't put up gaudy numbers at Iowa State or VCU is a all defensive caliber player in the A-10. This guy could be a player. I think John, you'll come to find too, like big guys in the G League finding complete big guys in the G League or two-way big guys. Those are a dime a dozen. So if you can ascend quickly, we saw Kyler Kelly in Maine last year, got off to a bumpy start, didn't have a great showcase cup in Orlando, comes out of the break, the all-star break, and he has an all-NBA defensive team kind of season. Hassan Ward could be trending in that way, and he's just a rookie in this league.
He could be trending in that way, and you know when the Celtics and any club in the NBA, when you're bringing guys up, you're looking for they could fit in, understand game plans, and be able to guard. Because guys coming off the bench have to be able to guard. Of course, we have the exception of the instant offense folks. Another person to mention on your point is Dmitry Skapinstev. He's been amazing, very efficient. 16-10, just right it in. Very dominant around the basket. And he could have a bright future in the NBA as well as a potential two-way player down the road.
Stay tuned for our weekend preview as well. The Celtics open up the home slate against the Westchester Knicks, G League affiliate of the New York Knicks, Friday and Sunday. On paper, again, it speaks to when, you know, watching the broadcast these first couple weekends. We're going to have our chance to be together on the air this week. The new G League promo commercial that 60% of the NBA is made up of G League guys. And I think we're going to see these two games this weekend and think, okay, that makes some sense because there's a lot of guys in that New York Knicks roster, the Westchester Knicks roster, that are former NBA guys, will probably be in the NBA again, if we're being honest. And on paper, some fascinating matchups to pick apart. We will do that later in the show, but first, here comes our guest, Ron Harper Jr., shooting the ball very well, coming off an injury, had the shoulder injury, a torn labrum, got injured last December, so he's coming up on a year since the injury, was on a two-way with the Raptors. They knocked the two-way off because he was out for the year. There was no sense in keeping it for their sake, for the organization. He's a career 33% three-point shooter. He's 9 for his first 18 in Celtics green. We go all the way back to college with Ron. We discussed his time at Rutgers, his experience with the Summer League Celtics in Las Vegas, and his preparation. So here is Ron Harper Jr. Welcome back, Maine Celtics podcast, joined by our first player guest of the season, Ron Harper Jr., third year in the G League, first with the Maine Celtics. Ron, it's great to talk to you. Hope all is well with you. How are things going so far?
It's going great, man. Enjoying my first month in Maine, and, you know, just looking forward to keep getting myself involved in the community with the team, all that kind of stuff, man.
Fantastic. I mean, you look healthy. Team's 1-1. We'll get to your play on the court we'll get to your play on the court as we progress through this interview. Want to go back in time a bit, though, and let folks learn about you. Because, again, last year your season was cut short due to injury. You had a pretty good run with the Raptors organization at 905, 2 years with the Raptors G League affiliate. Let's go back to your time at Rutgers. You joined the program in 2018, a program that was reeling a bit, but you were part of winning that got them back on track, getting to the tournament to break some droughts. They had a tournament drought since 91. They hadn't been nationally ranked since 1978, which that is unbelievable. When you think back of what imprint you left at Rutgers, what do you remember most?
Just, you know, going into a tough situation and making the best out of it. I remember when I was getting recruited in high school and stuff, and it was like I didn't really have that many Power 5 Division I offers. And really, I only had really two when it was time for me to decide. It was like Nebraska or Rutgers. And it was kind of like what I wanted to be remembered as. And I was always like this under-the-radar kid in high school. So, you know, I felt like it was a perfect connection for me to go to Coach Pikel and Rutgers. Guys like them, guys that have figured it out, guys that have gone to programs and turned it around. And it just made sense for me, man. It just, I went there and I left the place a whole lot better than what I found. So that's what I'm really happy about.
And you're from Paterson, New Jersey, so the local connection makes a lot of sense. After your senior season at Rutgers, you were awarded one of the most unique awards in college hoops, the Hagerty Award. It goes to the top player in the New York metropolitan area. Again, as someone who grew up in Paterson, someone who grew up in the area, how important to you was that honor?
It was amazing, man. Just, you know, seeing the guys that I kind of grew up around win the award too, like guys like Miles Powell, it just made it even more, like, it just made it a full circle. Just growing up in New Jersey, like you said, from Paterson, New Jersey, you know, the Hagerty Award was given to the best player in the tri-state. You know, it was just a tremendous honor to have gotten that award. And I remember the day perfectly. I was going through pre-draft and I had to go to the award show and make a speech. But, you know, those are the kind of memories that you live for. You know, I put in a lot of work with my teammates, with my coaching staff at Rutgers, and, you know, ended up getting me that award. So just really grateful.
It's awesome. It probably calmed maybe some of your nerves too, going through the process, and probably reminds you those milestones or checkpoints in your life, your career, that you look back on and think, okay, I belong. This is where I'm supposed to be. When I first met you at Media Day a few weeks ago, we discussed your dad, your influence to your dad, Ron Harper, five-time NBA champion. I'm just guessing he's one of your guys that you've idolized, but who are some other influences across your basketball career?
A lot of people, man. Just being around the game for a long time, you know, being around my father, I've got to make a lot of beautiful, like, friendships and that so forth. But another person I look up to when it comes to basketball is definitely my mother. My dad, my mom and my dad actually met through basketball, and he took a very hands-off approach to it when it came to teaching me and my brother the game, because he trusted me and he trusted my mother the most. You know, to this day, she's really gotten us to this point, you know, me and my brother and my family when it comes to basketball, and she's kind of been a rock that we can always lean on. And, you know, whenever we go to dad with questions and we need advice, he'll tell us his piece, and he'll tell us at the end, you know, nobody else is better, more equipped to answer the question than your mom, so you should ask her. So that's definitely one of the people that's helped me.
That's awesome. And you mentioned your brother. Dylan is at Rutgers now as a freshman. That must be pretty cool to see the family continue that legacy at Rutgers, a team that has expectations. I was just looking at the preseason poll. Rutgers is it's a loaded Big Ten now, of course, with realignment, picked seventh in the preseason poll. How does Dylan fit? I mean, I'm reading here that Dylan could be the best point guard in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Fair to say?
Yeah, I'm biased, so I'm gonna pick my boy every time, every day of the week over every player in the country. So I got him being the best player in college basketball. But like you said, with the realignment and everything, the Big Ten is loaded, a lot of good teams in the conference. And, you know, they got Rutgers finishing seventh in the preseason poll. And, you know, it's funny because I remember when all that, like, stuff comes out, yeah, like preseason poll, you know, I saw somebody had them finishing second, somebody had them finishing seventh, somebody had them finishing 14th, 13th, everywhere. And I remember Dylan called me. He was like, was it like this when you were at school? He was like, I don't know. He was like, I feel like they kind of picked us a little low, you know, kind of disrespected us. And I'm like, hey, man, welcome to Rutgers. You're going to have to go out there every day and prove it. Y'all got 2 5-stars, and they still got you finished the seventh, so you just got to go out there and prove it. That's what kind of program Rutgers is.
Look, man, at the end of the day, too, you know this by now, being a pro for a few years, those rankings are for people like us. It's just for us to chit-chat about. You go out and play the games, right? And that's they're harder than ever now, too, with the portal and trying to make sense of how pieces fit and whatnot. So I get it as a player. But there is something to be said about you can use those to channel motivation, especially for coaches, for programs, and for players too, I would imagine. And you just kind of spoke to that. So I'm curious. I looked at his so his listing on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights website. He's 6'6". You're listed at 6'4". Is that
fair? That's crazy. He's a little taller than me. He's like, he has like half an inch over me, but he's not no 2 inches over me. That's crazy.
See, okay, this is building towards what I'm getting at. So who wins a game of one-on-one? If there were 10 head-to-head one-on-one games, Dylan versus Ron Jr., who wins the most?
Unfortunately, I still got him.
Yeah.
He gets mad and competitive, but yeah, I still get him down there.
Where is he vulnerable? Where do you have the edge?
Oh, strength wise, he always complains that I put him in the post and stuff, but we're like 15 pounds away from each other, so I can't deal with that excuse anymore.
Okay, love it. Good family competition.
It gets competitive in there, man. Whoever loses the one-on-one, the rest of the day is over. Your day's ruined.
I'm sure your dad had some long mornings and afternoons taking the Harper brothers out for a practice.
100%.
That we probably can't get on here. As we said off the top, Ron Harper Jr., 2 years in the Raptors organization, joined the Boston Celtics 2024 Summer League team. So there's some carryover with some of the guys, and having that experience, I'm sure, was helpful going into camp to have some familiarity. Being with the Raptors, now with the Celtics in Boston, you've had some chances to go to Auerbach Center, work with some of the guys, and be part of the fabric of the organization. What stood out to you about the Celtics organization? Are there a few things that have surprised you that you expected differently? What are your thoughts?
I feel like what I expected is what I got. You know, I felt like I was going to go into a program that was a lot different than what I've been used to at any level of basketball, one that carries itself with a different level of professionalism, and one that, you know, just gets things done at a very efficient level. You know, the first day I walked in the building, I could tell I was exactly where I thought I was going to be. You know, those people, you know, they got a list, A, B, C, D, and that's what you're going to do today. And you're going to get your list done. You're going to do it as a professional. You're going to do it to the best of your ability, and you're going to go home, you know. I feel like mostly just being there at the Auerbach Center, like you said, I've been able to see the guys, coaching staff, front office, and I've been able to learn a lot. You know, how many times you get the chance to be around the newest batch of NBA champions. So just seeing their work ethic coming off of that championship, seeing how they carry themselves, knowing they were just the best team in the NBA and knowing what they want to do this year, it just shows you, you know, the work that goes into this stuff, you know, the mindset you got to have to be great. You know, I feel like that's truly like the best thing I took away from the experience.
I would imagine too, there's excitement in your shoes as a wing, and seeing how wings have ascended. Of course, the two front running guys, namely Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that there's a fit, and seeing the amount of wings now that are in Maine. We'll get to the Maine specifics in a moment, but I'm sure that would excite a player to see the success they've had in that system. It's only been two games. You're shooting the three. You've only taken one shot inside the arc in two games. 19 shots overall, 18 threes. You're knocking them down. You're 9 of your first 18 from three. That percentage separates from what your career is. And again, I realize it's two games, so a lot to unfold, but a lot of chatter in Boston about how Joe Mazzulla runs his offense. They call it Mazzulla ball, and, you know, Tyler Lashbrook being an assistant with the Celtics, he's carried some of that into Maine. How has the system, it's two games, so I know there's not a lot to work with, but how are you feeling about how you fit into what the schemes are?
Man, it translates. It's the same stuff I've been doing since I was at Summer League. So it's been a lot of carryover. Nothing's really been too different. You know, I think we just wanted to drive and kick, find each other, shoot a lot of threes. Just like you said, they call it Mazzulla ball. You know, Lash brought it down here with us with Maine. So we got Lashbrook ball now, baby. So we just gonna get up and down the court. You know, I call it drive and kick simulation. That's how we play. We just get into the lane and we find each other, fire up a bunch of threes. And, you know, we got a good team. Guys that can really space the floor, guys that can put a lot of pressure on the rim, guys like Baylor and JD. And, you know, they kind of make our life easy, and then we make their lives easy, vice versa. So,
yeah. You're cerebral, though, too. I mean, watching you on Monday in the Delaware game, JD's bringing the ball up the floor, and JD will find you if you're in the right spots and you're moving. And I noticed a few times coming up to set high ball screens. Kapintsev was out there too, setting screens. If you're moving and staying in rhythm of the game off the ball, what's it been like with JD? And of course, JD's been a part of the fabric with Boston now for a couple of years, so he's got a real understanding. He's an extension of that staff and what they're looking to do. How has JD been as a point guard for you?
He's been great. You know, what's he averaging, like 11 and a half, 12 and a half assists? So
more, 14 through two games.
See, like, I was even wrong there at 14. It's just, he gets in the lane and he finds dudes, you know. When they stop helping, he starts scoring And then when they start open, he starts passing. So, you know, I feel like JD has a great balance on the ball. I feel like as a point guard, he keeps us at a level head as a group. And, you know, just the way he kind of controls the pace of the game and the flow of the game, it's easier for us to be able to play the game within our abilities.
So I mentioned the shooting. You're 9 of your first 18 from three. Mm-hmm. Take us through your shooting routine, and then what's a signal or a key for you? Is it pregame? Is if you knock down the first one? When do you know Ron Harper Jr.'s feeling it, locked in, and you've got the shooting stroke down on any given night?
Yeah, if I'm hitting the first one, it's definitely going to be a good day. You know, that first three, it changes the tempo of the game. But I think the first two games, I think I made my first one. Yeah, I made my first one in both games, and I ended up shooting the ball pretty well. So if I hit that first one, it's going to be a good day. But just, like, shoot around and leading up to the game, how I prepare is just get a lot of shots up, make sure my mechanics are right, make sure, you know, I'm doing the right technique, make sure I'm not veering off from anything I do regularly, and just go out there and play free, man. You know, I shoot a bunch of shots every day, hundreds of shots every day. So when I go out there and I get the chance to shoot, 5 to 12 threes a game in 48 minutes, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make the best of my opportunity for sure.
Is there anything in particular, though, about the shot? Is it your feet? Is it where your hands are off the catch? Just, I'm curious, because I think it's easy just for us to, someone like myself, just to look at the percentage and go, wow, he's shooting the ball great. But is there something where you're like, if I got that right, I'm going to be in a good spot?
I feel like it's about, for me, you know, playing a lot off the ball, it's about reading the defense, where your defender is, and just trying to find that window to where the ball handler can find you. So, like, if I'm in the corner and JD's driving on the opposite wing, you know, and my defender's pulling in, I got to find that space in that window to where I can find it. And, you know, once I see that ball in the air and it's on the way to me, just got to make sure, you know, catch it right, 1-2, left, right, you know, just go up into that shot and, you know, let it fly.
Yeah, he's mastered a lot of, I mean, I saw the alley-oop of Skopinsev is going to be a go-to play. Even some of those hook passes, I see Tatum do it in Boston. Derek White does a good job with it, Holiday too, being ready to snipe in the corner pocket as well.
Yeah, I think Drew's really good at making those passes too. You know, in practice, he's been hitting me in that corner, you know, just off that quick pass.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to watch the way the league has changed. And some people go back and forth about the three ball, but something former coaches in Maine have said this, even the coaches that have come through Boston, it's about the quality of the three. I think folks get obsessed with the number of attempts, but if you're getting a great shot each time down the floor, it doesn't matter if you're taking 50, if you're taking 35, the quality of the shot. And so far, I think, fair to say, if you're shooting the rock, if you're shooting the three at 50%, you're getting some pretty good looks to this point in the year. We'll get you out on this. I think we talked about this a little bit at Media Day a few weeks ago, but and we've kind of hinted at this, talking about some of the guys. A lot of hype and talent on this team, but with the nature of the G League, it won't be the same roster every night. To your point, you've worked with Drew in summer league, in training camp. We haven't seen Drew Peterson play yet with the Maine Celtics, but you've had Baylor Shireman for a couple of games. Who's to say we don't see Jordan Walsh? Who knows? Jordan's getting great rotation minutes in Boston right now. With guys going up and down, what are you doing personally to stay ready any given night, what you're asked to be doing?
Just, you know, keep my preparation the same. You know, it's funny because, like, playing with all these guys, you know, like Baylor's with us right now, and JD, and like you said, with Drew down here, you know, I'm not going to be asked to do a lot of stuff on the ball, and I'm cool with that. Like, but like you said, how do I keep myself prepared for the day when they're all going to be in Boston and I'm going to have to do a little bit more on the ball? I'm just got to keep my preparation, just make sure I'm knowing the plays, knowing where to be, and, you know, just keep playing basketball. I've been playing basketball a long time, so I'm pretty confident in whatever position, situation you throw me in, that, especially with this team, that I can succeed for sure.
And Ron is coming back from a shoulder injury last year. Shoulders, we just chatted before we got started here. Shoulders feeling good?
Shoulders feeling great, man. Brand new.
You bring some energy to this team, like Jay Scrubb. You guys being in the league for a couple years, I find you both very similar in terms of position. But you're bringing some spunk here, and it's fitting in well. Ron Harper Jr., our first player guest. You should be honored, but it also speaks to your character. And we look forward to seeing more this weekend against Westchester. That's a good Westchester team you guys are playing this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a great home opener. Looking forward to seeing the fans. You know, let's pack the expo. Have a good weekend.
Okay, Ron, thanks a lot for doing this, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sir, appreciate you having me.
Okay, thanks again to Ron Harper Jr., for joining us. We mentioned his, John, we mentioned his 3-point percentage. He's 9 of 18. Well, he's taken 19 shots for the year. So he's only got one shot inside the arc. He was a great guy to talk to at Media Day a few weeks ago. Looking forward to learning more about Ron. And I know he comes from a great basketball family, too.
You know, what I love about him is I've shared on our first podcast how hard he plays and how much pride he takes in his craft. Yeah, I wonder what happened on that one shot that was inside the arc.
It's just, I think it's a byproduct of the offense and how there is some sacrifice involved. I mean, not too long ago, it was a few years ago, he averaged 17 a night as a two-way contract player. So I don't know if you want to call it a prove-it spot. I think that's how he's approaching it in terms of getting back to where he thinks he belongs in a two-way rank. The same could be said for Jay Scrubb. We only saw once in the first two games of the year. If they're bought in collectively, which we'll get into with Westchester here in a moment, this is going to be a fascinating year, and it's really going to be one of those kind of teams where it could be someone's night, any given night, to eat. We have two games, as we mentioned, this coming weekend at the Portland Expo. We're back. The last time we were there, we want to forget about that. The NBA G League Finals, Game 3 against the OKC Blue. New season at the Expo tips off Friday night, 7 o'clock. Hopefully the game, J.D. Davison breaks the Maine Celtics franchise scoring record. He is 6 points away from becoming the Maine Celtics all-time leading scorer. He is already the franchise assist leader. He's top 10 in rebounds. I know it's his third year, folks, but remember, he's 22 years old. He's still very, very young. Sunday, 1 o'clock, game 2 of the series between the Celtics and the Westchester Knicks. It is Championship Day, presented by TD Bank. The 2024 Larry O'Brien Trophy will be at the Expo. We have to keep our eyes all over John because he wants to see this thing so badly. We have to make sure that he doesn't take it or anything like that, but he's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Championship Day, presented by TD Bank. Get your tickets now at MaineCeltics.com. Have you thought of how you want to pose with the trophy yet, Sunday?
Maybe wrap around, but I wouldn't take it because that's illegal. I don't cognizantly do anything illegal, but that's the ultimate prize. And Celtics have had that prize 18 times. Yep.
I almost feel like, too, the trophy has made its rounds around New England and probably the world, truly. This is probably the last time that I think folks get to reminisce on last year. That's just my take. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, we love those banners. We love those championships. But I think the team in Boston, at the very least, they are on to they're trying to capture another one. And I think there's that sour taste in the mouths of guys like J.D. Davison, Drew Peterson, even Jordan Shackle, who wasn't there for the playoff run but was on the team last year. Don Carey, returning players. And even some of the new guys that are looking to prove it. And when you win games in the G League, when you win games and you impact winning, you're on to bigger and better things. So I think it's going to be a fun day. And these guys are looking forward to racking up some victories at home. So the Westchester Knicks, though, John, are no pushover. This is a good team. It's a talented team. And we're probably going to say that about every team, every year, every game, every week when we do this podcast. Westchester has talent all over the place. Hard not to start with TJ Warren, who's been in the NBA for 9 years. He's started two-thirds of the games he's played in. Played most notably with the Pacers in 1920 in the bubble. He averaged 20 a night. Moses Brown is an NBA-caliber center. That's fascinating in terms of watching Brown against Dmytro Skopintsev. That's enticing. Chuma Okeke in Orlando, former first-round pick. Had an issue with an ACL back in Auburn, but this is a talented team, and you can take it wherever you'd like. And we haven't even got to their two ways yet, and those are just their other contracted players.
So there'll be a lot of talent in the Portland Expo this weekend. I encourage everybody to come out and watch. And Warren, he leads the G League in points. J.D. Davidson is third, so there'll be a lot of explosiveness. And both games over the weekend. Boo boy, he could flat out play. He's quick. He's quick as light, and that's an exciting matchup. He and JD going against each other. Knicks very deep, as are the Celtics. And to your point, the G League, the evolution of the G League and the quality of the play It's remarkable. It's great for the game. It's exactly what the NBA envisioned of the G League when they made the partnership.
Yeah, I think too. You know, so the Knicks did. They played with their two-way assignment guys a few weeks into the new year. Because they made some pretty substantial moves in the offseason, as most folks are aware of. They acquire Karl Anthony Towns. They also go out and get Mikal Bridges. They added OG Anunoby last year midseason. So they've toyed with the roster to mix and match it for Jalen Brunson, Thibodeau, Hart. Those are some of their core guys that I know folks have been calling them the Villanova Knicks. I don't think they have a Villanova guy on the G League team.
I don't believe so either. And you know, they broke it up a little bit by sending DiVincenzo to Minnesota for Karl Anthony Towns. Right. They call them the Nova Knicks.
And I think I only bring that up because I think there's opportunity here for this particular G League team of guys that have been in the NBA. It's very similar to the Celtics, very similar. Jay Scrubb being a notable example. Skopinsev has had some run in the preseason with other NBA teams. Scrubb had run a few years ago playing with the Clippers. Jordan Shackle during that weird hardship contract transition year with the pandemic a few years ago, he got 6 or 7 games. So having now, of course, Warren playing 385 is a lot different than that. I realize that. And then also a KK 189 in 4 years in Orlando, very different circumstances. Jacob Toppin is back as a two-way guy for the Westchester Knicks. Boo Booey is the point guard out of Northwestern, which I think that Northwestern program has been exceptional. So I'm looking forward to watching Boo Booey play. That might be the difference maker in the series in terms of you got a rookie in Boo Booey. JD Davison knows this league. This is year 3, and we've harped on this, and we watched this in Boston. I tell this to folks all the time. You know, Sam Hauser, he doesn't get to the NBA if he's not getting it done on defense. And I think JD continues to ascend on the defensive end of the floor. We marvel over his triple-double offensive numbers, rightfully so. I get that. But JD Davison, I think, is going to have an opportunity here to lock in on both ends of the floor. What matchups excite you specifically?
Well, obviously, the one you mentioned, Boo Booey and JD Davison. The big guys, Skopinsev going against his former team, is very looking forward to that matchup. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, big guys that can play have a high ceiling or quick opportunity to get to the NBA. So that's another exciting matchup. The ability for the Celtics to score, they're going to be able to score. It's just a matter of the team that gets stops. That's going to be the key for the weekend. Both clubs still looking to find each other. I believe the team that gets stops, and you mentioned that's what the NBA coaches are looking for, guys to understand defense. I think that will be the key for the weekend. The Celtics looking to go 2-0. At home. And Brendan, from when you were playing in Lowell Peewee basketball to the NBA, every player in the world, no matter where they are, loves playing at home. It's just, there's no place like home. And the Maine Celtics are no different. And the Portland Expo is a great building for that. So I'm really excited for this weekend. And, you know, the Knicks, even though they played on Long Island, still, you know, quasi close to home, if you will, and not travel. So this will be the Knicks' first test in true road territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to mention the Celtics, they didn't have a series to open the year. They had to go to Long Island, then go to Delaware. So broken up weekend. That's the nature of the G League, nature of the travel, and that's the schedule. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think, and you're right about, it's good to bring up the bigs because Westchester in their first two games, 62 rebounds per game, 62, 44.6 on the defensive glass. Both teams have done a pretty good job, Maine and Westchester, of doing their roles on the offensive glass, but that is that number is astronomical. Now, I realize that could come back down to earth, and I don't know if they're going to average 62. That means there's a lot of missed shots, which is a credit to their defense. 62 rebounds over their first two games, Westchester. So they are cleaning up on the glass. So from a size standpoint, you mentioned Skopinsev against Brown. That's enticing. But on the wing, which group of wings separates from the other. And we hear this, it's cliche, but gang rebounding, everyone getting on a body, getting to the glass. I think we'll watch the 2-7-2 guys without a doubt, but what the guys on the wing, everyone's going to have to contribute, I think, in the glass.
Right.
On the glass,
and right? Everyone, as you said, gang rebounding, team rebounding. In a perfect world, the bigs block out and the guards come back and get the rebound. As you mentioned, as we talked earlier, you talked about the rebounding for the Knicks. That's the key. Whoever is able to stop, because everybody's going to be able to score. So that is the key. And wings are explosive. I mean, Baylor Shireman's proven he can flat out score from anywhere, and proven why the Celtics made him the high draft pick that he was. He's looked really good in the first two games, and you referenced the Peyton Pritchard half-court shots, and you saw Coach Lashbrook, making sure that was in the playbook brought up, I guess, since geographically from the parent club. So really, wings are critical. NBA's, guard-dominated league, wings explosiveness should be really exciting.
Yeah, and Shireman, you talked about this early in the show about continuity together, and you don't get a whole lot of that. And even in the landscape of the college basketball now, going the transfer portal guys going year to year, Shireman, with being with Boston mostly and Boston personnel, you go to practices, you're getting run with other end of the bench I'll call them the first bus guys. They take that with more of a compliment than the other way around. But then to come in with new teammates and still impact the game. Shireman put up some amazing numbers at Creighton in terms of just being a do-it-all guy, and he can really play with anybody, I think is what we're finding out. So very intriguing weekend coming to the Expo. Friday, again, J.D. Davison hopes to become the franchise leader in scoring. He is 6 points away from doing that on Friday, and then on Saturday, 1 o'clock, Maine Westchester, run it back. It's championship day, presented by TD Bank. John Shireman, look forward to the weekend. Look forward to the broadcast. So a full Celtics weekend, 7 o'clock Friday night at the Expo, Maine Westchester, on NBC Sports Boston. We'll also be on Tubi, the NBA G League streaming partner. Tubi, we're back on Tubi. So find us there. For G League hoops throughout the season. We'll have Maine Celtics games there, local partner NBC Sports Boston. Saturday, Boston takes on Toronto at home at the TD Garden, and then same deal Sunday at the Expo, 1 o'clock, NBC Sports Boston on the local side. He's John Shireman. I'm Brendan Glasheen. Thanks again to our guest, Ron Harper Jr., for joining the Maine Celtics podcast. We look forward to the weekend. We hope to see you there, and we'll talk to you next time.